Our study tonight is in Jeremiah chapter 6, 1 through 9, viewing God's warnings of discipline at the intensely personal level. Hearing of another person or group of people being disciplined by the Lord may not affect us that deeply, but if God warns us or people close to us of his severe discipline, that kind of a warning dramatically affects us. Jeremiah chapter 6, 1 to 9 presents God's warning of discipline to Jeremiah's own neighbors and tribal people, an intensely personal experience with enhanced effect. And we view the passage for our insight in our edification. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at it. Jeremiah 6, 1 to 9. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire or signal fire in Beth Hakkerem. For evil or calamity appears out of the north in great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a beautiful and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flock shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall shepherd every one in his own allotment. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Cut ye down trees, and cast a siege work against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a well casts out her water, so she casts out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul be departed from thee, lest I make thee desolate and land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. Okay, the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 9, was an intensely personal one, and it's clarified in verse 1 as follows. Jeremiah's hometown was the town of priests, known as Anathoth, in the tribe of Benjamin. Remember Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1, Jeremiah of the priests in Anathoth. Anathoth was a little town 3 miles north of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem is right on the border between Judah and Benjamin. So as you go north, you're out of Judah and you're into the tribe of Benjamin. And so Jeremiah's hometown was the town of priests known as Anathoth in the tribe of Benjamin, 3 miles north of the city of Jerusalem. So his call to the children of the tribe of Benjamin to gather themselves to flee from Jerusalem instead of fleeing into that great walled city for safety from invading Babylon, warned people close to Jeremiah. He revealed that no longer could his own people expect to find refuge in Jerusalem's walls as before presumed, for even Jerusalem itself was doomed to fall. Now, this is something that people of Anathoth and Benjamin, they were fairly close to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the big walled city in the area. So if you're going to get invaded by a foreign nation, that's the place you want to go. You want to go right into Jerusalem. The only problem is, Jeremiah says, no, I'm telling you, not, don't go to Jerusalem. Jerusalem is doomed. So what you need to do is stay out in the open country, even though you're not defended, and just keep on fleeing south. In fact, Jeremiah had added that they should blow the trumpet in Tekoa, 12 miles south of Jerusalem. And the word Tekoa in Hebrew is a play on the Hebrew word blow. They sound very close. And to set up a signal fire in Beth Hakkerem. It's a modern Ramat Rahel, just 2 miles south of Jerusalem. The relentless southward march and the conquest of the Babylonian army would be so sure and so devastating that Jeremiah warned his town and tribal people to keep on fleeing, to go right on past Jerusalem. Just stay out in the country. You're safer out in the country, even though that's where the Babylonians are coming, because the Babylonians want to come and they want to take the city of Jerusalem down. You're safer actually out in the open than you are hiding in Jerusalem. Now that's a shock, because Jeremiah's family lives in Anathoth. his uncles, his aunts, his, you know, so forth, all these people, his brothers, sisters, whatever, they're all there. So he's warning, this is his family he's warning. So Jeremiah voiced God's claim that he was about to destroy what was like his own beautiful and delicate daughter, the daughter of Zion, a poetic reference to the city of Jerusalem. That's interesting. I have two daughters, Connie and then Joanne, okay? And to think of them being destroyed is unthinkable for me as a father. And the same with my son, too, but especially daughters. But here God says, I'm about to destroy my delicate, beautiful daughter. That's what he thought of his people. This destruction would be so complete that shepherds would come and pitch their tents there in its uninhabitable ruins to graze their sheep, each tending his own portion of pasture. Now that would be pretty great destruction. The city is going to be so destroyed, nobody's going to live in it anymore. In fact, what's going to happen is that there's just going to be grass that grows up, and so that's where people are going to shepherd. The shepherds are going to send their sheep. It's going to be like it's a field with a bunch of broken down walls and rocks that are littering the place. It's just basically that's all it is. In fact, that's exactly what it was like years later when Nehemiah came to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem after this prophecy came true. Notice how he describes this in Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 to 17. In verse 12, he says, I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any animal with me except the beast that I rode on. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain in the king's pool, and there was no place for the animal that was under me to pass. Apparently, it was littered by all the broken down walls. Just, it was a mess. Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered the gate of the valley and so returned. The devastation was enormous there. Well, Jeremiah predicted that the Babylonian soldiers would initially plan to attack at noon. That's normally when they would attack. But before the preparations were completed, the shadows of the evening would have begun to lengthen. Now, normally, most armies, if they had tried to attack and it was getting late, like the late of the day, like today is, they wouldn't try to attack because you want to have broad daylight when you're making your attack. But the Babylonian army would be so motivated that even though it got late, they would start attacking at night because they were in a hurry to get into the city and to destroy it. It's very unusual. So most armies would want to postpone the attack until the next day. The Babylonians would be so motivated to attack the city that they would start their assault that night. As the invaders waged war, God would help them. He would lead them to cut down trees to build siege ramps up against the city walls to punish Jerusalem since it was filled with oppression. This is interesting. God was actually helping the Babylonians. They were his tools in his hand. They were the rod that he was using to punish them. And God was actually helping these soldiers every move that they made so that they would carry out the judgment that God had wanted. Continuing to explain Jerusalem's ripeness for judgment, God added that the city constantly, abundantly poured out its wickedness like a well pours out its water, that violence and destruction resounded in her, and that her moral sickness and her wounds were ever before the Lord, requiring his discipline. In an additional warning to the city, God through Jeremiah warned Jerusalem's dwellers to repent, or he would turn away from the city and make its land so desolate that no one would live in it after its fall. Likening the nation to a vine that had been harvested, leaving the gleanings of a few grapes behind, the Lord urged that the nation be gleaned as thoroughly, that her branches be passed over again like one who gathers the last gleanings of the grapevine, so that absolutely no fruit was left. The picture is one of inescapable judgment for every single one of the ungodly inhabitants of Judah, even on people close to Jeremiah. See, God had made up his mind. Every single person that deserved the judgment was going to get it. And he was going to make sure that the Babylonians got everybody who was wicked. And we find out from the city, from the book of Ezekiel, that God marked those who were still righteous so that they were not injured, so that they were not hurt by the Babylonians. And the only ones who were destroyed and hurt were those who were wicked. And so an angel of the Lord actually put a towel, the letter T, on the forehead. It's kind of like a cross today. And I don't know if this is where they get, you know, Dracula and so forth avoids people who have this cross on their forehead or not. I don't know where they get it. But the letter T, it's the letter T, and that marked them. And the angels were involved apparently protecting those people that had the mark on the forehead. And eventually, and you get into the book of Revelation, God puts the seal on the forehead of the servants that he wants to save. That's the origin for that goes all the way back to the book of Ezekiel. So it's interesting, only those who were wicked were punished, but all of those who were wicked were punished. So in an intensely personal message, the Lord had Jeremiah warn his own townspeople and tribal people not to flee from the invaders, even into the presumed safe haven of nearby Jerusalem, but to keep on fleeing out of the open country south. For Jerusalem was about to be invaded and destroyed, so that shepherds would pitch their tents in its ruins as they led their flocks there like pasture. The Lord would even help and guide the Gentile invaders because Judah was so ripe for judgment, pouring forth violence, destruction, and all of its moral sickness and wounds. The nation would be thoroughly gleaned as a man strips a grapevine of every one of its grapes, punishing every wicked individual throughout the entire nation. So, when we hear of God's discipline in his word, like this passage, may we apply it in our lives as a warning for us and our associates to repent. For our righteous God eventually must punish all unconfessed sin, even ours. You know, it's very easy to say, well, yeah, these people were wicked and they had it coming, and just to kind of shove this off. But that's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to learn from the mistakes and the sins of other people, not to do that. So when we read this, we need to read it and view ourselves and say, okay, where am I? Where am I in my walk with the Lord? Is there any area that he wants me to correct? And if there is, correct it. Confess it to the Lord, yield to the Lord, because whatsoever was written ahead of time, this Paul writes in the book of Romans, whatsoever things were written ahead of time were written for our learning, so that we, through learning through the scriptures, might have patience and hope. So it's for us, and God wants us to learn from this. He just, you could tell where he says, I'm getting ready to destroy my daughter. My beautiful and lovely daughter, Jerusalem, that he hated to do it, but he will. And he will discipline his own people, so we have to be very careful to make sure that we do the will of God.